Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. As we come to the end of the church year, this Sunday will be the Feast of Christ the King, and that concludes the liturgical year, the church year. The following Sunday becomes the first Sunday of Advent. Let's take a look here at what the readings are that the church gives us. Readings that focus, as I said yesterday, on the life to come. Because it's only if we take time to focus on our destination, which is heaven, that helps us when we see we really are. It's not just some, you know, magical place out there that I'll probably never get to, or it's a fiction, as many people believe today. It isn't. The scriptures reveal the life that is to come in many ways, and the book of Revelation speaks of it powerfully. That's why our faith needs to be strong, so that in the midst of all the things in this world that pull us in so many different directions and occupy so much of our time and our energy, and much of that is rightfully so while we're on this earth, but not all of it. There are things that the world entices us with, offers us, makes us curious about, and we start investigating, we start reaching out, we start moving, and we forget all about God. We may pay him token service on Sunday, maybe, but the rest of the day is okay. I've done what I've done my, quote, Sunday obligation. And so now the rest of the week or the week is mine. It's not. It's all God's. And God wants to show you the life that is to come so you can live this life and make decisions in this life in light of eternity. Because you are going to live forever. You are going to live forever. Think about this. Your body dies, but you do not die. You are going to live forever. And the body will be resurrected. Think about that. That's your destination. And if that's my destination, then how do I live? So let's take a look at the first reading today from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. I, John, saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. It had writing on both sides and was sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a mighty angel who proclaimed in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to examine it. I shed many tears because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to examine it. One of the elders said to me, "Notice, I shed many tears because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to examine it." We're not worthy. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David," this is Jesus, "has triumphed, enabling him to open the scroll with its seven seals." And then I saw standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb that seemed to have been slain. He had seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God sent out into the whole world. He came and received the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. And when he took it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each of the elders held a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the holy ones. When you pray, Scripture tells us, your prayer rises like sweet incense before the Lord. And here it is. Each of the elders held a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the holy ones. And they sang a new hymn, "Worthy are you to receive the scroll and break open its seals. For you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue, people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests for our God, and they will reign on earth." This is a picture of the life that is to come. This is not fiction. Remember what I've said so often, the Word of God is like a beating heart. It's a living reality. You think you pick up a book, but you pick up the Father's own heart. You pick up the heart of His Son. You pick up the wisdom that they wish to impart to you. Read the Bible. Read it daily. I kiss it when I finish it. Because that word is a living word, and that word is imparting to me truth that helps me to look at reality from a much, shall we say, different perspective. I look at this earth and I look at reality in light of eternity. Do I want to do this? Do I want to be involved in this? Is this going to lead me to be a better Christian, a better Catholic? Is this going to lead me safely home? Is this going to enable me to help others to know Him and love Him and serve Him? That should be in the life of every single Christian. So come, brothers and sisters. What is being described to us here in Revelation is the reality of heaven. Some of it is symbolic, but a lot of it isn't. But the symbols in the world to come will become full reality. Because we can't bear it yet. We can't carry it. It would overwhelm us. The glory and the beauty, the splendor, the majesty. We can only take a little bit at a time while we're here in the flesh. Psalm 149, the Lamb has made us a kingdom of priests to serve our God. So let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let us sing to the Lord a new song. Let Israel be glad in their Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. So that includes all of us, brothers and sisters. And then the verse before the gospel is this, if today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Don't get distracted. Don't shut off the radio in anger. Listen. Listen. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, He saw the city and wept over it. If He looked at us today, if he were here walking the earth today, He would weep over us, brothers and sisters. If this day you only knew what makes for peace. If this day you only knew what makes for peace. Jesus cried that out near Jerusalem. He cries it out today in our cities. If today you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes because we've turned to other things. We've made gods out of earthly things. We're idolaters in many ways, money, sex, power. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another within you because you did not recognize the hour, the time of your visitation. There was a day in your life when you recognized God, as we called Him, as you are God. There was a day when you believed. And perhaps life seems to have shredded that. What Jesus says so much is, come back to me. Come back to me with all your heart. This is not childhood fantasy, it's reality. We want to be ready so that when He does come for each one of us, we're ready. If you've turned away from the Lord, if you've turned away from the church, this is the time to come back. There's such grace. It's always time to come back. But this particular is a time when so many people in the Catholic Church are praying for those who are lost, those who are outside the faith. Come back. Come back to me with all your heart. That's the call of God to us. And so, a little more than a week, we'll begin the first Sunday of Advent. It's time to ask yourself, what do I want to do before the busyness gets on me? What do I want to do for Advent that will draw me closer to the Lord what will help my faith to grow. And I want to close this program with this. It's in my book. This is copied in my book, More of the Holy Spirit. If you go to our website, you could easily order a copy of this book, More of the Holy Spirit. But I quote a sister, Ruth Burroughs, in that book, and I want to share part of what she says about faith. Faith is not a thing of the mind. It is not an intellectual certainty. It is not a felt conviction of the heart. It is a sustained decision to take God with utter seriousness as the God of my life. God is central to me. God's word is central to me. It is to live out each hour in a practical, concrete affirmation that God is Father, my Father, and that He is in heaven. It is a decision to shift, this is most important, to shift the center of our lives from ourselves to Him. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, in our sinful condition, me, myself, and I is in the center of my life. And what Sister Ruth is saying is, faith is not a thing of the mind. It is a sustained decision to take God with utter seriousness as the God of my life. It is a decision to shift the center of our lives from ourselves to Him, to forego self-interest and make His interests, His will, our sole concern. Each of us has the choice either to live by faith or to live by flesh. To live by flesh is to live within the limits of our own potential, within the limits of our own perception and understanding, according to how things seem and how things feel, according to our natural experience. It is instinctive for us to live thus, taking for granted that our experience is to be trusted, that it is the way things really are. That is what we see, touch, taste, hear, and smell. We say this is the way things really are, the way we are, the way God is, that this is our life. We want to remain on this level because it is within our grasp. It is ours. It affords a sort of security and assurance. This is so natural, she writes to us, that we are unaware of how much of our life is lived from self, relying on self and not on faith in the Son of God. We cannot rid ourselves of this deeply rooted pride and self-possession by our own strength. Only the Holy Spirit of the crucified and risen One can bring it about. And this He is indeed always trying to do. But we must recognize His work and say, Amen. God wants to be in the center of our lives. And the life that He holds out for all of His people will follow Him is eternal glory, eternal joy, eternal happiness. This is the infinite God who can give us an infinite gift. But if we're going to get there, we've got to put Him at the center of our lives and displace ourselves. Put yourself in second place. May God lead us and bless us. God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.